Welcome to the MegaCast.
Welcome to episode 76 of the MegaCast. It is Tuesday, the 6th of March in 2018. I'm joined tonight by both Wilco and Josh. Good evening, fellas.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Geez, that was such a professional intro, wasn't it?
Sorry, it was pretty good.
We apologise now. We'll go back.
Sorry. How bad, guys?
Go back to being fucking dropkicks now. We'll jump straight into it. Wilco, you didn't get up to much last week.
Oh, hold on. I haven't filled in the sheet. I've been doing heaps of stuff. I'm actually really, really, really good. I've literally jumped on the computer 5 minutes ago. This is my
I was going to say, what have you been up to, man, for the past 7 days? Because by this run sheet, you've been doing fucking nothing again.
Look, I probably have, to be honest. We started last Thursday. We got into Rainbow Six Siege again because we're practicing for Outbreak, which launches in a matter of hours, which is the new PvE content for Rainbow Six Siege, and it looks amazing.
Outbreak, is it fucking zombies?
Yeah, no, zombies, not zombies. Hashtag zombies, not zombies. That's what my Twitter handle is at the moment, not zombie Wilco, because they're not zombies. But they're infected, slow-moving things that if they bite you, you'll get infected. From space, too. Alien zombies, even better.
So there's zombies from space.
That makes sense.
They had to justify it because it's in the Tom Clancy world, so everything has to be have something. So it's a Russian... It is a Russian spacecraft that's satellite or something that's landed in this place, and that has infected the town.
So they're Russian zombie aliens, then.
Yeah, they're pretty cool, actually. I'm pretty psyched to be playing that this Thursday. We're going to actually jump into it. That's the next time I'll get to play it. But last Thursday we played Rainbow Six Siege, just Terror Hunt, for probably 3 or 4 hours on Thursday
night.
It was so good.
I think that's a cool game, but that's so dumb.
Oh, no, wait. The gameplay loop is going to be good. Because Rainbow Six, it's always been about you use one or two bullets in your clip and that's it. One shot does kill, especially if you do it right.
Dude, guys go down so fast in that. Like, it is... It's so, like real life. Like, I kind of feel like if I had a massive assault rifle in real life and walked into a room and, like, popped someone even 2 or 3 times, pretty sure they'd go down. Like, not like these, you know, Counter-Strike where you shoot someone, like, 9 or 10 times they're still standing and running at you.
So, what you find is LMGs, which are meant to have these massive big clips and you just really unload on people, they're useless in Siege. They're not useless, but... they just don't fit a purpose. And shotguns, yeah, cool. You can do the same from a distance. Shotguns, like, or close up with any other gun. So shotguns and LMGs have been not in the game as much.
I think that, like, LMGs would be used for cover fire because they've got so many bullets in the magazine that you just sort of sit there and go...
cover fire in it because... Especially on PC, like, you just get pinged across the map straight up. But they've made this PvE mode, which they said they were never going to make a PvE mode outside of Terrace Hunt. So they've gone back on that, which is cool. But they've made a mode with these zombies, not zombies. So they take a lot more... It's basically turning the gameplay on its head. Like, these enemies will take a couple of clips to take down some of them. And some of them you've actually got to get the weak points exposed. So you've actually got to use some tactics to get to the rear of them. And basically, LMGs and shotguns are very important in this game where they're not really in the PvP. So,
can you imagine? Actually, quick side note, this is not in the news, surprisingly, but did you see that Trump said that video games are giving people training to become like school shooters and really high?
As soon as I hear anything Trump, I just go,
apparently, he stated that violent video games give people a good training ground to practice.
Do you know what also gives people like a good training ground to practice? Giving them actual automatic rifles and semi-automatic rifles and sending them to the gun range.
Yes.
And firing them in real life.
Can you imagine what would happen in real life if people were as insane in real life at shooting people as they are in video games?
Where's the auto assist? Where's the aim assist? What's going on?
There'd be no wars because you'd walk across the battlefield 4 kilometers away and get shot by some motherfucker with an aimbot down there, on a different map.
360 no scoped you, man. Look, I love the ESA's response to this in the fact where they put out the stat that every single country in the world does buy these games en masse. Not yet, no other country in the world has mass shootings like America. There is no relevant data that backs any of this up. So they spent common sense. But let's not get into that argument. Rainbow Six Siege, it's a beautiful game. And it really good does stuff. Help you if you want to start... No, I mean... No,
shooting people.
Maybe don't say that.
Oh, okay. Fair
Maybe
enough.
Just don't.
We then turned into Friday night. This is back... God. We're still talking about what I was playing. This is only at the Friday night yet. I played Fortnite for the first time ever.
I don't know how, because Fortnite is the most played game in the world. Like, it's even more played mm-hmm. than PUBG at this point in time.
And it's more watched than PUBG as well now.
I have been touting Fortnite. I'm pretty sure I've been touting Fortnite for a while. It's actually, definitely in our Discord, that it is the best Battle Royale game. It has been the best Battle Royale game since I was playing it, like, last year. On PS4, I'm pretty sure. It's quite good.
I'm not going to dispute that at all. I'm just saying it's a bad game, and it's terrible, and people shouldn't play it anyway. But it was terrible. Like, we had a really horrible night playing it. Josh Chalmers, my beautiful co-host on a lot of other podcasts, he rage quit. He went nuts.
Did he really?
That's
he
it. Raged. I'm out of here. left the server.
Bullshit.
Yeah, like it was just not fun. Like, it's because it's such a small map.
Really?
Playing squads.
It's not a small. It's fucking massive.
Yeah, but it's just. It's, I don't know, it just felt terrible. Like, we were coming 14th, 15th in teams. We got a couple of 5ths or 6ths or something.
It's a lot more arcadey. Were you playing on PC or PS4?
PC, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't touched PC Fortnite. I've been playing pretty much on PS4 since it came out, and we won 2 matches on the weekend. Like, actually came, I got 2 chicken dinners, inverted commas, nice. On the weekend. Well, so... I don't know what you boys are doing.
Nah, it's just stupid. Like, I didn't like it. We're never playing it again. We're pretty much to the point where Battle Royale has no good games in it. Good luck to those people who love Fortnite. Yeah. The weird thing that did come out of it, I got a strange sub out of the night, and like, it was someone who wasn't in chat, all this kind of stuff. Story is just broken in the last probably 2 or 3 days that... A lot of people are getting this, and it's to do with the Fortnite skins you get if you are Twitch Prime and you sub to someone using that Twitch Prime, the free Twitch Prime you get with Amazon Prime.
Yeah. Yep, you do, yeah. So you got to sub to someone. There's one dude called Ninja who went up.
Yeah, I'm looking at
overnight,
it now. Ninja
like
ended
80,000.
Ended his stream 84,000. He's now 85,000 subs, and 2 hours offline, he got another 838. New Prime subs in that time.
Yeah.
So basically, people are selling these dodgy accounts, and people are buying them with, you know, dodgy credit cards, and then using them to sub to anyone who's playing Fortnite to get these legendary skins. And
yeah, pretty much.
I got one. I didn't realize what was happening. I said thank you to the person. They didn't say anything in my chat. I've now looked it up. They have 0 followers and never only follow one person. So, weird. I don't know. No, not even me. They've subbed to me, but they're not following me. So,
Look, I like you enough to sub to you, but I'm not going to follow you, for fuck's sake.
That's it. We had a really good stream, though, Friday night. It was really good. So I thank everyone who joined us that night. It was really good. Anthony from behind Aura of Worlds, he was in chat all night, and it was hilarious. So he's hopefully going to get him on the podcast eventually, some say soon. So then what happened? Sea of Thieves went into a crazy scale test on the weekend. I rage quit that twice on Saturday.
It was more like 3 times, wasn't it, Wilco? I think chat. I think it was 3 times.
It was pissing me off. It was like I was playing solo, which was my first problem. Second problem was I killed these guys. There was a group of 2 came up to me, and I went, yeah, cool. He's tried to ram my boat. Oh, he's chasing my boat. So I put the anchor down, pulled the sails up, so I stopped dead, and they went shooting past me. As they shot past me, I jumped aboard, shot the guy at the wheel, and he died. And then I'm on this boat that's flying off. I turn around, I see my boat. I take it back to my boat. I jump on my boat. That's where the other guy is. He's starting to sail that way. Shoot him. He's dead. Actually, no, just use the sword, killed him. And then I went, okay, I couldn't sink ship.
Did you then get trolled for like 2 hours afterwards?
No, well, I couldn't sink their ship because there's no weapon that you have to actually do damage to their ship. You have to either ram it into the rocks or get on your ship and shoot their ship with cannonballs. So I couldn't destroy their ship, which is where they respawn. So then they were all of a sudden, they're 2 on at V1 again. I killed another one. We're still 2v1. I can't sink their ship. finally he kills me once, they get my ship and ram it into the rocks, and that's the end of me. So they, it was literally a 6-1 kill streak, a kill thing, and I lost the battle, and they didn't. And that pissed me off. And then the second time I was checking vendors at the outpost, I just put in my chest and checking what the vendors had, and all of a sudden I'm dead. This guy had come up to hire me in a, what I would have thought was a safe zone. Like, I'm not, I'm just looking at a vendor.
Just shopping. Just doing your shopping.
And then I get back on my ship. Oh, hold on, no, the ship was sunk. They'd come and sunk my ship, so I've just appeared in the water. I'm like, no, I just want to check. I literally just want to check this before I log off. So I went on to one of the vendors again. Same thing again. Shot dead. I'm like, fuck it. I'm out of here. But yeah, so then I got on later with Timbo McDad for his birthday. Happy birthday, big fella. You're a legend.
Happy birthday, bro.
I taught him how to become a pirate, and we sailed the seven seas for probably a good hour, got like 6 or 7 chests, didn't encounter anyone because I was keeping keen scout while he was sailing the ship. And we only had the ship sink once because I decided to cannonball myself onto the island and said, Tim, you're in charge.
It sounds like that game is going to be pretty bad for griefers, actually.
That's my biggest worry at the moment. It is 100% my biggest worry, because there is no penalty to killing someone.
I just got to, like, I mean, the scale test, again, they limited it to just the one company that you can do missions for. So, obviously, people are going to get bored with that and go and look for other things to do, you know. So
The whole game will be bigger because there's a lot more dangerous waters to go to. So if you're with that pack, as people are expanding and sailing out, like, you'll probably still hit griefers. But I think once you get out of that...
this game, it doesn't sound like it's going to be fun for a single player.
It still depends on where people are at, because, like, if I can get out of that center area where all the noobs are, and when that... I said it on the weekend, I think it's going to be best played when the player base drops off, because you'll get all the trolls will just go, I'm sick of this, I'm not having any fun anymore, and go. The real hardcore and people who enjoy the game will hang around, and they'll be the ones that will be helping everyone. But
yeah, we're actually going to talk about something very similar to that a little bit later on in the podcast. We've got some news.
But it is 100% quite interesting, so. They need to do something that makes you either have a safe zone where you can't get shot and you to look at vendors, or they need to be a penalty. If you kill another pirate that hasn't engaged in you, or for whatever reason, you get a bounty on you that other people can then track you down and get that bounty.
Bounties would be sick. Bounties would be rad, but having a safe zone completely foregoes the
idea of pirate world. That's the problem. That's the people thing I keep on coming into. You can't, and like, you can't tell people not to grief, because, dude, if I was a pirate and I saw a dude just down there, I'd be thinking...
With a treasure chest... He'd be dead as fuck, but I can tell you what, I wouldn't be handing that damn treasure chest into some vendor. I'd be opening that, dude.
Exactly. That's everything the for myself. Biggest problem I have with the game at the moment.
Man, you have go around no clue how much that makes me mad.
And you cannot open them. You've got to sell them back.
God, that pisses me off. Oh, my God. Like, why do you even go for treasure if you can't see what's in the fucking treasure chest?
I know. That's but yeah, anyway, back to the cool story. I shot myself from a cannon onto this island. It was hilarious. I said, Timbo, just keep the ship afloat, mate. I'm going to take out all the skeletons. I'm going to get this chest.
Wait, you shot yourself from a cannon onto an island?
Yeah, you can load yourself into the cannon and then shoot the cannon.
So the idea was...
This isn't the fucking Wrigley Brothers.
So the idea was...
What the fuck is this?
There's a treasure chest on that island. You lose a lot of time slowing the ship down, stopping, anchoring it up, getting out, finding the chest and getting back on, getting back up to speed and getting out there. So you just keep the ship afloat. You just keep it at full speed, do a loop around the island. By the time you're coming back around the other side, I'll be near enough to jump out and get back on the ship. Yeah, no problems. I'm digging up the treasure chest, and Tim's like, oh, what's that rushing noise? What's that hissing noise? There's a hissing noise. I'm like, just have a look down. Oh, there's water at the map table already. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Fucking hell.
He'd been hit by one cannonball, didn't realise, and it went down. So then I'm stuck on this island waiting for him to respawn with a new ship and then sail back over. And then I went, bugger it, I'm just going to swim out to you, because I could see the ship was fairly close. And a shark attacked me.
You got eaten by a shark.
Yes, I got within like 10 metres of the boat, mate, and it finished me off. So
That game sounds fucking infuriating.
And I love it for some stupid reason.
Yeah, look, I still worry that there's not going to be enough in it. You know, I haven't seen enough in the scale tests and the stress tests and the betas and the things like that to.
I think if you're not into the loop by now, I don't think you'll find much enjoyment into it. But if you like the loop that is currently going around, then there's going to be more of that loop. I think.
See, that's the thing. Like, I liken it to things like the Division and Destiny, where we got the Division, we got to level 8 of 30 plus endgame. So you're looking at probably the first 10-15% of it. The Destiny was even less of that. I think I actually level 8, but in the first one, in Destiny 2, it was even less than that. You're only getting this small percentage. You can see how, like, we're in the bottom right corner of the map by what it looks like. This thing should go forever and a day to either direction, north and west. And, like, I picked up 2 messages in a bottle. I got to level 5, rank 5, so I got the bigger, better chest. I had that loop going. I was really excited to jump on that night. And this was Sunday by this stage, and continue that journey, get those riddles going with the messages, and it finished, and it has left me wanting more, but I massive concerns for it, massive concerns.
Yeah, fair, that's fair. Anything else?
The big one, Total War Arena. I finally got a chance to start playing that. So
did you get kicked much like I did? Like, or could you? Actually
I had
play
no
it?
Issue whatsoever, man.
Oh,
I
you're lucky.
Just went in, played it. And found a match within a minute every time. I won 7 or 8 straight on Friday night.
Nice.
Played mostly AI, then 1 PvP game, which was terrible. But the tactics were great. I love doing that again. I'm really addicted to wanting to go back and play more. We've got Last Wave. Josh, I think, is going to get it. Josh Chalmers. Stevie Jar's downloaded it as well. And we're going to probably make this a regular thing because it's far better played in a group of 3, 4, or 5.
Oh, yeah.
Because I go in there and I'm like, sweet, I've got my archers ready here. I'm going to go. I know the spot. Because it's the same map you play to start off with. You play the same map over and over again, so you can start learning tactics. As once you rank up, you start getting more maps. I'm like, okay, I know exactly where to put my archers. I'm going to go over here. Cool, there's a couple sword guys behind me and a cavalry. Sweet. I'm on the left flank. I go down the left flank. I put all my archers up on the thing. The whole army basically comes down the left flank, and I'm like, oh, fuck. I look around. Everyone who's behind me has gone up the center flank, or the center run. And I'm like, okay, guys. I'm literally on my own. I have archers, and I have the whole army in front of me. This is going to be a quick game. And unfortunately, it was. So there's things like that all the time. And the amount of friendly fire you get at low levels is mind-blowingly annoying.
Friendly fire is a big thing in that game, though. Certainly with the archers, you've just got to.
Yeah, but it's realistic. I mean, if you were firing a shit ton of arrows into a bunch of people that you had your own dudes in, you're going to hit them too. So
that's fair, though. I understand that. It's the people who don't understand that. It's so many people at lower level just going, oh, I'm going to keep on clicking. There's one red unit in there amongst 100 blues, and I saw it.
That's fair.
There was one left that was surrounded by everyone else, and this dude's just click, 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 firing arrows up, day up, and everyone's on chat saying, stop it, stop doing friendly fire, stop it, and he wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Apparently, we talked to Dennis, who's a pretty big fan of it, been playing it for a while, in my stream on Sunday night, and he says, once you get to tier level five, that stuff pretty much vanishes, because by that stage, it's people who have been playing for a long time, they know the tactics. And they want to play it properly. And like you said, if you're playing with 3 to 5 people, it's so much better because you don't have those instances. You basically say, let's go down we're taking the right flank as a group. You guys set up there, I'll support you here. Like I went to do a flank, perfectly set up flank, went right around the outside. I came in, and as I've come in, everyone's decided to do the same flank. And all of a sudden, I'm in this massive sandwich of... And then they sort of pull out. And they went back to the start. I'm like, fuck. Come on, people. But anyway, it is really good. And I just want to grind through to that level sort of 4-5 area and start playing some serious tactical Total War games. Because I've missed that. I didn't realize how much I missed it till I started playing it again.
They're fun games, man. Total War games are very, very fun. Yeah.
And it's also got me in that whole wargaming feel too. Like it's obviously from Wargaming, so it's got that whole you can jump in, use one commander, and if you die early, you jump out, but you can't use that commander, so you try another commander. So I'm wanting to get back into World of Warships and try out a whole bit of different ships again. So we're probably going to start doing a Wargaming night fairly regularly, because I know Stevie Jarre and Last Wave are pretty keen for that as well. So,
Awesome. Yeah, sounds good, man. You've been up to a shit ton. Fuck, man.
It's been pretty hectic, but there'll be a lot more content coming on Total War Arena. This is only the start of it. I've got access to a review account, so you'll be getting a lot of stuff for us over the next month or two.
Good. Good stuff. Moving on to Joshua.
That'd be me.
Regale us with what you've been up to for the past now, 7 days.
I saw your Discord got hacked the other day.
Did it?
Yeah, it had like you were playing Final Fantasy 14 or something.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get.
Can't
to
be
that.
Right.
I haven't, to be honest. Like this week, I haven't done a lot. It's been a pretty busy week with work for me. Maddie will attest. I spent four nights out at not at home until about 10:30 or 11:30, just with work functions and things on.
Getting blasted with the boss.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't sound like hard work.
Trying to avoid to be plastered with the boss. Because when he comes to an event already plastered and like is dancing around, you're like, oh God, this is going
to
go bad.
He's a listener to this podcast, you're going to get fired.
Yeah, no, probably. Probably. But
can you imagine if he was? Thanks, Josh. Thanks, get out.
So I haven't done much. What I have played is more Guild Wars 2. Still into that. Still really enjoying The Living Story Season 3 and 4. Playing through that at the moment. So that's a lot of fun. Finished Doom on PS4 on Sunday. That was a good little palate cleanser, I guess. Fun.
Oh, fuck, that's a good game, man. I can't believe it is. Like, it's all right. Fuck, Doom's just incredible. Anyway.
Are you expecting us to almost get a Doom 2 some stage this year, Perko? Either Perko?
I don't think so. I would prefer not, actually. I'd prefer for Doom to be much like Doom 1 and Doom 2 and sort of just stagnate. We don't need a new release of these kind of titles every single year. That's where it starts to get old and long in the tooth. Hopefully ID is smart enough to maybe do something else, like a Rage or a Quake or something like that.
The storyline leaves it open for there to be more, but
yeah.
The only reason I bring this up is because Bethesda, I don't know if it's in the news or not, Bethesda announced their date and time for their press conference for E3 this year. So that means they are having a press conference.
I thought that was just a glitch.
Yeah, they've got a new either a new Fallout or a new Elder Scrolls this year.
Yeah, I
thought they just glitched out and a date had appeared.
Oh man, I still want them to do it. I still want their guy to just halfway through the conference just raise up off just the stage, just start to fly from the rafters.
Yeah, not even high, just like a foot, you know, just up, and just that little bit up,
bend to the left.
Oh man, how fuck that'd be just the. I'd love it if they just embraced their glitchiness and did something like that. It'd be the best thing ever. Anyway, keep going, Josh.
And the only other thing I've spent some time with is Final Fantasy 14 because someone's been trying to get me into it.
Real hard.
Real hard. I'm still not sold on it yet. I did some reading on the class that I was playing as, and I got real disappointed. So I chose the Archer to begin with because I'm playing on my Archer character on Guild Wars 2 again and really enjoying that. So I chose that and then did some reading and found out at level 30 the Archer pretty much becomes a bard. And those two things don't really go hand in hand in my head. And I'm like, I don't want to be a bard. I want to shoot people in the face with an arrow. I don't want to have to sing to them. So I'm a bit disheartened a little bit at the moment. But that's
you can be like Legolas, but with a beautiful voice.
Yeah, but I still would rather shoot someone in the face with an arrow.
You still can do that. You can sing tales of how they deserved it.
Yeah, it's a really good game you can do that. And it's called Monster Hunter World. If you want to shoot arrows in things' faces. If you want to play an MMO where things look pretty and sing, then look, Final Fantasy 14 is your thing. Go for it.
The game's pretty old now. It doesn't look that pretty, mate.
No. Look, honestly, one of the big things for me with Final Fantasy 14, and Matt will probably laugh at me with this, is it's seriously, and I know it's a staple of all MMOs, it's just the subscription. That's the big thing for me, the constantly paying. When I've spent so many years with Guild Wars 2 and really just paid the one up front cost and then got all this great content for it. And yeah, I've had to buy a couple of expansions, but all this other great free content and haven't had to pay that monthly cost.
It's fair.
You know, just this is seriously.
That's the biggest entry for me as well. That's the biggest entry for me as well, is the fact that I have to pay $14 a month to play this game. And I'll back that. I think it's worth it though. I think it's worth it. Just and we'll get on to why, I guess, pretty soon.
But for me, like when I'm still going through Guild Wars 2, I just, you know, it just doesn't, like, they can do good games without it, I guess. To me, it's much like loot boxes, you know, do it a different way. It doesn't need to be in there in this day and age. Back in the day, like back when WoW first started, yeah, definitely. But I think developers and publishers and those kind of, on those kind of games can do it another way. You know?
Yeah, they can. It's also a Japanese company, and they released a Nintendo that didn't have any online capabilities in 2017. So, you know, sometimes Japanese companies don't really understand. Yes, they don't really know how to do online-based things. So, in any case, it's, you know.
But that pretty much covers... Oh, no, sorry. I did play about 5 minutes of one other game I do want to talk about. So I won this code from our good friends from another indie through their Discord. A little game that's coming out in October this year, I think it is. It's called Yuppie Psycho. So it's a little Steam game. I'm pretty interested to play some more of it. It's, imagine like an 8-bit survival horror game. Basically, you start out as this guy called Brian, and you've just got a job at some big company. And then from what I've seen, shit just goes pear-shaped from there. Like, you know, people are getting killed.
It usually does, man, to be honest.
Yeah, don't work for big companies. She goes pear-shaped real quick. Especially pear companies. It's fucking going to be horrid.
You really dad are a fucking bad, eh?
Oh, like, holy. They're going to come thick and fast, boys.
But
that's what she said. Don't worry. We'll keep going.
Yuppie Psycho. I'm keen to spend some more time with it. I didn't get a lot of time to play it over the last week. Hopefully going to sink a few hours into it this weekend because it looks like a lot of fun. Check it out on Steam if you want to have a look. As I said, it comes out in October.
Hey, Perko, so we need to get
set
you...
Set a reminder in 6 months.
Yeah, we need to get you the command that's in my chat, which is just dad jokes, and people just put... Actually, it's called McDad Jokes in mine, and they tell some hilarious McDad jokes in Twitch chat. It's good fun.
I might have to do that. That might be fun.
Yes, you will. I'll sort it out for you.
I guess it's my turn. We'll get through the...
Really. No, we've done. We'll get through
the boring stuff. It's been fucking 30 minutes. We'll get through the boring stuff first. I'm moving again, which is going to be really, really cool. I'm moving back into my own place, hopefully sometimes this week, which means that the streams are going to get better and the content from me is going to start flowing again because I'm not going to be sort of in this weird living arrangement that I'm in now. I'm going to have access to all my stuff and it's going to be very, very good and I'm going to be relaxed.
I'll refute that looking at the rest of your list. You've got Final Fantasy 14 on here as well. There's no way you're making quality content with that game in your roster.
Well, no, because I still have Danganronpa 3 and Dragon Ball FighterZ and...
Yeah.
Oh, no, not Dissidia. Not Dissidia. Let's not go.
I want to refute it as well because he says the stream's going to get better, but, like, the internet's going to be the same. He's still in fucking Mackay, so...
Oh, yeah, but true. His TV's not going to be so bad.
I'm playing off this shitty Samsung one. Anyway, I've been playing a bit of WWE Supercard as well, still on the mobile, still enjoying that. It's really good when I'm on the shitter plan, you know. I need a couple of 10 minutes to... To have some fun with a mobile game.
I was listening to, shout out to the Hungry Gamers. They're a lovely bunch of blokes and women. But they were saying that, Brendan was saying it's $60 to buy a booster pack for that.
Oh, I haven't even checked. I haven't bought any.
Oh my God. That's what he was saying. So
fair enough. I haven't actually checked.
And it's got like 5 or 6 cards in it. So yeah, cool.
No, I've played nothing but free content, which is you know, keeping me going. I'm enjoying that. Danganronpa 3 as well. I'm still getting through that on the stream. I haven't been playing it for a couple of days, but we're up to the first murder trial, which is pretty interesting. And it's actually gone pretty well. Not yet. We're right at the end of the first murder trial. I'm actually pretty keen to sort of play a bit more of that this week and stream some more of that and get through the first murder trial and get more into that game because they're so interesting, those games. A lot of people come into the stream and they go, "What the fuck is this? This looks terrible." And then after a couple of minutes of me explaining it and them seeing the characters, they go, "I might get this."
Have you got your webcam on?
Yeah, I do, yeah, during that time.
So they're not talking about your webcam?
Fuck. If you're going to insult someone, mate, do it properly. Jesus, Walker. Okay, that was horrid. That was horrible. No, it was pretty good. I've still been playing Dragon Ball FighterZ as well, still getting fucking schooled by...
How is Andrew going on that?
He's doing very well, a lot better than I am. Okay, bastard. Cool. I've tried my hand a few more times at Dissidia. I spoke about it last week. I still feel the same way.
I just don't know why you keep trying. Like, seriously. You're a glutton. You're a glutton for punishment.
Yeah,
sometimes.
I don't know. I like to finish games regardless of whether or not I like them.
Once the answer refers to Final Fantasy 14,
I could understand that sentiment 2 or 3 years ago when like there wasn't that in the time probably that great many games that were.
Mate, there are a lot of games I want to finish right now, especially considering that JB Hi-Fi just added all those games in that 2 for $40. God. Man,
fucking hell.
There are some good games in there. Holy crap. Yeah. Man, like The Last Guardians in there, the new Uncharted, The Lost Legacy's in there. There's a ton of stuff in there in that too. Anyway,
so why burn your time with NT? Exactly. That's all I'm saying.
Just so I can say that I've fucking finished it.
I'm the one person in the world that's finished it. Congratulations.
Yeah, I don't know. Still been streaming a whole lot as well, and that'll continue. Final Fantasy 14, as people have probably heard, and I'll get to that very shortly, but also pre-ordered Ni No Kuni 2, the collector's edition of that. That comes out pretty damn soon as well. I'm very excited for that game.
In between two of the biggest games of the year.
Yeah, Far Cry 5 is one of them. And what's the other one?
Sea of Thieves.
Way Out's in there as well. What a week.
I'm probably most keen for Ni No Kuni 2 just because I was just fell in love with the first one. It's such a charming, charming title. And I think that this one is going to be just as, if not more charming. So I pre-ordered the collectors of that. I'll be picking that one up. But I have been playing a lot of Final Fantasy 14. It's a game that I've tried to get into, God, probably 4 or 5 times over the many years it's sort of been out. And it's never really stuck with me for whatever reason. I don't know why. I've always got to about level 10 and then just stopped playing. Don't really know why. I'm nearly level 20 now though, and I think I might be sticking with it for a little while. I really want to get to max level and see what the end game content is like. I have a few friends on the same server as me now. I'm trying to get Josh into it. I'm trying to get his partner Emma into it as well. Because I've heard many, many good things about it. I've heard that it's a really good MMO, and I'm starting to see that now. It's very story-driven, which I wasn't expecting. The storyline is actually quite good, so I'm keen to get a bit more into that, but I've been playing a lot of Final Fantasy XIV. I'll probably continue to play a lot of Final Fantasy XIV. Don't know if I'm going to stream this one yet, though. I don't know how it would go on stream, realistically, but I might. I might give it a shot, and we'll see how it goes. But that's pretty much what I've been up to. I'm keen to move, very, very keen to move, and keen to get really back into USM content once I'm in my own place and a lot more comfortable. Other than that, let's do this.
This is the fucking news.
So there wasn't
How
much
good
news.
Is this?
Yeah, so there wasn't much news, and then we found some news, and this is hilarious. So you know when companies sometimes they release a demo of the game, but then they accidentally release their whole game.
Remember
the demo disc that used to ship and the whole game was on the demo disc? Yeah.
That did happen once. I remember that happening once. But, Yakuza 6, they released a demo, but it was just the full game.
Yeah, everyone's so how come this demo is 40 gig download? What's going on here? Oh.
Yeah.
And then everyone finished the prologue and they're like, I'm still playing.
This is still going.
It's still going. What is going on? So, yeah, apparently the demo was released on the PlayStation Store. You could download it, and then very, very quickly people were like, this is a pretty long demo. I've been playing this for 70 hours. I'm not too sure if this is...
That's good to see the demo was only up for about...
I've just seen the credits roll on this. Is this right?
They put credits in a demo. That's impressive.
Yeah, what the fuck's going on here? I'm somehow playing through Yakuza 4 as well. I don't really know what happened. Silly Buggers released the full game. Hilarious stuff. They probably won't do that again. And that person...
You reckon?
Considering it's a game called Yakuza, that person is probably dead. I don't think they're alive anymore.
Missing a hand or something.
Forced to commit seppuku or some shit like that.
Hey, he's got them from some free publicity and people now enjoy the game. They know they enjoy
it. People would have enjoyed the game regardless because it's a Yakuza game, but I just think that is real funny because it's almost something that would be in a plot point in Yakuza.
Yeah.
So it's great. It makes me happy that this happened. Speaking of Sony exclusives, they're apparently restructuring to focus more on first-party games.
So, yeah,
they're good words to say, aren't they?
Restructure in April.
Yeah. Which, so you know, I have an inkling behind this. Hey, restructure in April. I think maybe, you know how I've been talking about Microsoft making the push to become a software distributor and not releasing another console.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the year they announce it. I think Sony knows about it, and I think at E3 this year, Microsoft announces the Xbox brand is moving to anything that runs on Windows 10, making that push, and Sony seeing that come, because all the bigwigs talk, like they all know what's coming. Sony's making the push to be the premier home console with their first party games that you can't get anywhere else.
Well, they're already that, though. That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, they are, but there's still people out there who are diehard Xbox fans and will continue to buy Xbox. I just think
this is marketing speak, to be honest.
Yeah, it could be as well.
They're gearing up. Like, they've shown the same games for the last three or four E3s, and they've got flack for stop showing us stuff that's 3 or 4 or 5 or 15 years out. And they've sort of bore that for the last 3 years. I expect we're getting to the point where everything that we know that they're working on will be out by the end of this year or early next year.
Yes.
There were some surprises
late last year. I think this last year is when we heard about the new Spider-Man game, which was a big surprise, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've last slowly year we started also, bringing in more surprises. But
yeah, and last year we also heard about that dead... What is it, that dead... The one with all the zombies, Days Gone.
No, that's the first time. That's been the last 2 years we've known.
Last 2 years, fair enough. There was The Last of It. Well, we knew The Last of Us 2 was coming, but that was last year.
Yep.
There's been a few.
They've been making this transition. I think this year is going to be big. They're going to obviously drop probably 2 or 3 big titles that we'll see in the next 12 months. And look, they should be focusing on more first-party games anyway. That's what they've always done. I don't know why this is news. But anyway.
I think it's because their first-party games are just hitting so well at the moment. Yeah. They'd be silly not to say something about it. The first-party games are amazing at the moment. The real
confusing part of all this is they've gone to all the trouble of making this a story somewhere. Like, we're looking at this through IGN, but like to actually tell people that, hey, we're restructuring to work on more first-party games, yet Detroit Become Human, a game that's been, you know, touted for so long as one of their big exclusives, gets a release date for May 25th, and it gets announced as a blog post on their blog. No fanfare, no nothing, just... Oh, if you saw our blog, we've got that first party games coming out in a couple months. Well, that's one thing, but like, you know, you're making this move to say, hey, we're all about more first party games, but oh, that other one that we've got's releasing, whenever.
I think they're gearing up because there's going to be a couple of announcements this year. I think you'll find the Xbox or Microsoft push to a more software distributor, software publisher platform, and I think you'll find the Nintendo Switch move more towards indie. The Switch is becoming like the indie's darling, an indie console,
where I said those exact words that I think the Nintendo Switch will become the indie darling, and I think that was like 2 months out of launch. But anyway, probably. Here we go.
But I think that this is Sony, putting their identity forward and saying, well, if Microsoft's gonna try and take on Steam, because that's probably what they're doing, and Nintendo's grabbing the indie market, and that's fine, then we're going to make the best first-party games that you can get.
The only other theory that I can possibly go on that makes any sense is the fact that Microsoft is about to buy a whole heap of big first and make a few big companies' first-party studios, and they're getting in front of that and saying, we're going to be bringing a lot more first-party games going forward.
Yeah.
Because there was that rumor a couple months ago.
That could be true, them
buying Valve. Yeah, good luck with that. EA, good luck with that. But that stupid one that makes that game that gets the awards, I fucking can't remember, PUBG or something like that. Blue Hole or some shit. So that's the only other angle you could possibly take at it.
Look,
but still does,
in any case, Sony's come out and said they're restructuring it to focus more on first-party games. Cool. Moving on, Detroit Become Human. Oh, we've already done that one.
I segued into that, but you just ignored the whole segue. But anyway,
I'm just reading down the fucking... I'm reading down the damn list, okay? Just give me... Oh, here we go. We spoke about this before. I didn't even know this was happening. And as a big Final Fantasy fan, as a person who's currently playing Final Fantasy XIV, as the person who... I did all my rankings from all the Final Fantasy games I've played the other day from best to worst, and Final Fantasy 15 was somewhere in the middle. It wasn't right at the top, it wasn't right at the bottom. But I didn't even know this was happening.
Come on, hold on. Be fair. Mm-hmm. Final Fantasy 15 isn't finished yet. So you can't really add it to that list.
Well, you watch your fucking mouth, Wilco.
You're not wrong.
I just said they're releasing this Royal Edition and it's got more content coming.
You're not wrong. So gone are the days when you pick up Final Fantasy VII or Final Fantasy VIII and you play it and you finish it and you get all the rad side content and you go, fuck, that was a really good 100-hour, you know, journey. Now you pick up Final Fantasy XV.
Journey.
Yeah, it's going to be 100 hours when you first play it.
Really wished he'd finished Final Fantasy XV Complete Edition before
exactly.
He died.
Complete Ultimate Royal. So for those who are in the non-know, and I was fucking one of them until today, and I actually saw it in JB Hi-Fi when I was in there today, and I went, what the fuck is that? <'Cause it's>
just, I run a gaming website. What the fuck is that?
It just says Final Fantasy XV Royal Edition. I'm like, huh. Didn't know that was coming out. Wonder what's in that. Went home and looked it up, and I'm like, this sounds really good.
I do have to say, I seriously thought the Royal Edition was just like the re-release for PC with the season pass stuff. Like that's what I thought too. That was my thought.
It's Kingdom Hearts 2.1. That's what it is.
Yeah. So let's have a listen. This is the feature list of what's included in the Final Fantasy XV Royal Edition. An expanded map with the Insomnia City ruins, all new side quests and enemies such as Cerberus and Omega will be available through the expanded map of the Crown City of Insomnia. Players can also take on a battle with the rulers of Yore, a fully controllable royal vessel boat, expanding the world of Eos and allowing players to explore the area between Cape Kame and Altissia. Players will also be able to fishing. A new accessory that can activate a new action called Armiga Unleashed, and I won't read the rest of that. A new first-person camera mode, allowing players to experience the game from Noctis' perspective and look at that mechanic bitch's boobs closer. More than a dozen pieces of downloadable content, including weapons, regalia, car skins, and item sets. All current season pass content, including Episode Gladios, Episode Prompto, Multiplayer Expansion Comrades, and Episode Ignis. And the archive. They can review the cosmogony story scattered throughout the Final Fantasy XV world. Additional local myths and legends will also be placed in various new locations. Through them, players will be able to obtain more information about the world and a quest to obtain and strengthen the Regalia Type D.
That's a fair bit really of content.
That's a lot of content.
That's a fair bit of content.
That would have been really sick, though, if that was in the game when it launched.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it would have been really, really good, because then it probably would have felt like as a game. Rich as a fuck another Final Fantasy game, and I wouldn't have been saying this was a good game but not a good Final Fantasy.
And it would have only taken them 16 years to bring that one out instead of 15, so what's a fucking extra year at that stage? I can't get behind this. I'll wait till the complete edition is
in the next 3 years.
Seriously, I think this will be a 7 or 8 years down the track we'll get a complete edition.
What gets me is with how much content there is here, plus the patches they've put out, I have to assume that most of this was ready before release. They've got three expansion packs. Three full expansion packs in this. They've
released.
That's
what they've been working on for the season pass for the last
year and a half.
They're not working on much else, to be honest.
No. Considering it took them
15 years to make the base game. Fuck.
Yeah, this has to have been nearly ready.
Well, before do you think maybe it was 12 out. Years to make the base game, and then they just waited the other three so they had the content to release there, and then they could just sit back on their laurels, release
I think it was 10 years, and then 5 years of quelling the fucking fan base to stop asking for a Final Fantasy VII remake. Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Which we're getting anyway.
My head, to be honest.
Are we? Are we really?
Yeah. An episodic one. You fucking just watch. They've already announced that.
Wait for the Royal Complete Edition of that.
The Shinra, edition, the Meteor edition, the Sephiroth fucking rides Meteor into Hell edition. This is a funny, I like funny news stories. So moving on from my heartbreaking more about Final Fantasy XV into a speedrunner has gotten himself banned from all future Games Done Quick events because he shared his medicinal Mary Jane with another person. Now the story, for a start, what a dumb cunt. So the story goes, I forget this guy's name. It's in this story here. His name is Hang on.
So do you think he'd already had a couple of puffs by that point and he'd be like, oh, can I have some?
No, because it's okay. For a start, it's not Puffs. For a second, you can tell he smokes weed because his name is Bubbles Del Fugo.
It's what?
It's Bubbles Del Fugo.
Del Fugo.
He's known for his Dark Souls and Fallout 4 runs. Apparently, and it wasn't smoking. It was he had some edibles, so he had some like cookies or something. And so, very much not kidding. He needs these. Okay, this is medicinal marijuana for him. He needs these. He was diagnosed with Hodgkin lymphoma at age 17, and realistically, this is a very, very good thing for him. But what he did do that was kind of silly was he let a friend of his have one of his edibles. His friend then went to hospital because he freaked out. Apparently, he experienced a panic attack and freaked out and was taken to hospital.
So why is this getting banned from all games done? Oh, they're
actual charity events, aren't they?
Yeah.
So they can't be seen to...
So apparently he was staying at the hotel with this dude at one of their events. And his dude was like, man, I suffer from bad anxiety. And bloke's like, have some weed, bro. And I'm very much paraphrasing here. It was probably nothing like that. But he gave a dude who suffers from anxiety an edible for the first time or for many times. And the bloke had a panic attack. And now Bubbles can't compete in GameStop Quick anymore.
I'm just trying to imagine Bubbles Del Fugo in my head now, like this.
Well, he looks like a pretty normal dude. And to be fair, I don't want to poke too much fun on Bubbles here. Fuck, I can't say that with a straight face. I don't want to poke too much fun at Bubbles here, simply because like this is a very serious thing, and I'm a big backer for medicinal marijuana, especially in these kind of scenarios. Just don't give it to other people, bro. Look, that's not a good thing to do.
I'm not poking fun at his condition. Just his name. Like, seriously.
Oh, yeah.
Just his name. Bubbles Del Fugo. Like, is that...
Is he like a classic name, though.
Is he
it's
just
a fucking
this,
good name.
Like, the whitest Mexican wrestler in the world?
Bubbles Del Fugo.
He's like an unlockable in some fucking Mexican...
He's got some pretty... No, he looks like he's got a pretty random haircut. I'll tell you that much for free. He's very much like mine.
Is he straight out of like GTA Vice City or something like that?
Yeah, that's he looks like he's a bit out of Vice City. He looks a bit like he's a bit out of Vice City a bit. But look, pretty funny story. Don't give your medicinal edibles to other people, please, guys.
We're still in the point where that's actually illegal, isn't it?
In Australia, 100%. Oh, actually, I read some news New South Wales were considering making it a lot easier for medicinal cannabis.
Yeah,
wanted
pretty much
to
all
get
the states
it.
Are starting to do that now.
Yeah. I think medicinal cannabis might be illegal, but you can't. But nobody makes it, so or some fucking thing like that.
Everyone makes it, but it's just not medical approved.
To be completely fair, in our country's capital, the ACT, marijuana is not illegal. It is completely legal. It is legal to have two plants under knee height for your own use. It is illegal to sell. It is illegal to cultivate, but it is not illegal to smoke.
But if it's not illegal, you don't need to sell it because anyone can get it. So that's the fun
part. I don't know, man. I've tried to grow orchids and shit. They're apparently really easy and they all die. I'm fucking horrid at taking care of plants, man. I'm not too sure about that at all. But if you don't mind, guys, my knee's feeling a bit sore, so I'm just going to pop out real quick, get some edibles, and I'll be right back. I'm back. I didn't go anywhere.
Can you share, please? I'm having anxiety here at the moment.
No, I want to compete in GDQ, Games Done Quick, one day. The Fortnite dev...
Fortnite devs.
This was happening in PUBG, and like this was... Yes. I remember back playing H1Z1, people were like, no, we can't be seen talking to each other, because if they find out you're playing solo matches and teaming up, they'll ban us.
They weren't even doing that. You drop into the solo games and I'm not going to be racist, but all the Asian people were literally congregating in the same spot in the loading area, all wearing the same shirt colour, all putting on the same shirt colour. They were just blatantly doing it.
Yeah.
Like, there was no hiding it. But, like, this is obvious. If you do that, you're an idiot. Get out of the game.
So, Fortnite have come out and said, we're going to ban players who are teaming up in solo matches, which is probably a good thing, because... if you want to team up, that's why duos and squads are there. Solo,
yep.
In, you know, we're not, this isn't a Han Solo match where you get to be fucking solo and your mate is, you know, Calrissian or anything like that. That's solo means one person, bro.
that was quite a leap, like, that your mind's just done there. Like,
well, you know, some people who may be on some edibles might think potentially that solo means, fuck, man, this is Han Solo mode. They might. Probably not.
Bubbles and his edibles. Is that the name of the podcast now?
Fuck. I'm pretty sure, yeah. I'm pretty
Moving anyway. On.
Talking about anxiety, Tekken 7.
Oh, yeah.
World Tour. When are you getting? When are we getting the news that you've nominated into this?
Oh, never, because I'm shit ass at that game. I haven't played it in like 2 months.
Starts next week.
March 16, I think it
is. I'm really fucking keen. I'm going to watch the shit out of this because I really like watching Tekken. I really like watching Tekken as much as I like playing it. Unfortunately, I'm better at watching it than I am at playing it.
That kind of goes for most sports,
I'm pretty bad at watching it too because sometimes I'm at work and I have to do things and it's fucking pretty hard to watch.
Do things at work. Fuck off.
I wish that were true. So,
speaking of funny shit though.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to keep on going with that, are you? Do that.
No, I'm pretty keen to watch it because the last at Evo we saw the return of Nii's Brian, and no one's gonna know what the fuck that means unless they follow Tekken. But Nii is back, baby, and if he pulls out his Brian Fury again at the World Tour and does what he did at Evo Japan, I'll probably shoot my pants. I probably won't, but unless please I get real bad gastro again like 2 weeks ago, then I'll probably more I will. But that's all right.
Who would have predicted a year on we'd be talking about the Nintendo Switch having Alzheimer's and just forgetting things? Just like, I love this story. This is great.
It's that well, Nexa can forget that it didn't win our Hardware of the Year last year.
And it can forget about people playing online together. It's just, no, it didn't happen. That's how old this thing is.
It's just, like, there's so many good games on it, and it's such a fine piece of... But there's just so many flaws with it, like in the software and in the way. You just fucking, for fuck's sake, Nintendo.
Actual news story is that people have had, obviously, it's a year. The Switch has been out for a year. Congratulations, the Switch. For some reason, there's something in the code in the Switch that only remembers your playtime for games for 365 days. Yeah. On the 366th day, it forgets you've played it.
Now, there is an update to this, apparently.
Yes, is there?
Yeah. So
does the update say, "Oh yeah, that was Ken. He thought it was funny. He's fired now."
Yeah, Ken thought he was a funny guy. No, it is still recording the correct game time. So in the back end of the program, it is still you know, all your previous time is there. It's just not displaying properly, apparently.
Okay.
So there is an update coming.
Did Bubbles
soon.
Give everyone switch some medicinal?
Some edibles.
Everyone's just fucking forgotten. I thought maybe they were just trying to if they wipe everything, then everyone's like, oh, it's a new console because they haven't played it, and then maybe go for to win, you know, best console of the year again, you know, because it's a new console this year, guys.
There's so many people out there who have to brag that they're so good because they've spent 200 hours playing Zelda.
Yeah. Can you imagine doing that? Being like, I've finished Zelda twice. Because there's no trophies. So you'd be like, yeah I finished Zelda twice. I've got 250 hours in it. Have a look at this. 0 hours.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right, O'Conn.
Yeah, right, Kev. Whatever, Kev.
You haven't played this game at all, you fucking poser. No, I have. This is bullshit. Fuck you, Nintendo. Angry email incoming.
if it was a guy that had put 250 hours into Zelda, it was like, it'd be a Nintendo fan, so it'd be a politely worded email.
Excuse me, Nintendo.
We love you.
I seem to have found
a
small issue. Just wondering if maybe sometime in the next 12 years you can fix this for me. That'd be great.
Perko, you're the elite coder here. Like, you're the hacker man.
How does this bit of code
like get over? Like, what's happened to make this happen?
Oh, dude, there could
Laziness.
There could be... Man, fuck. My code is like 140 lines to do things like change the entire company's UPN in Active Directory. And that's like 140 to 150 line PowerShell script. Some of the guys who write JavaScript, the place that I work, I know PowerShell and some C# coding. Some of the lines or some of the coding scripts that I've seen, like the dev guys actually write, are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of lines, like thousands and thousands. And then they call other scripts that are thousands upon thousands. And one line in one script could potentially delete an entire database. There are so many reasons why this could happen that I wouldn't even begin to fathom which one actually did it.
I just
it would be a pain in the ass to track down. It can't. Well, it can't. No, I wouldn't be lazy.
The only reason I say that is, you know, that age-old story of the reason, and you'll probably tell me this is wrong, Matt, but the age-old story that there's no Windows 9 because the old Windows 98 and 97 and 99 code only looked for Windows 9, didn't look for 98.
No, that's true. That is 100% true.
So that's all I'm thinking. Like, some guy's gone, oh, yeah, we'll just put in there to check your game history over the last year. You know, and that's what it does.
Well, it could be the way it stores it. It could be saying, okay, in this first 365 days, you've played it for this many hours. Now I'm going to store it.
It could be a time archival thing. They might have an archive thing set up, so the same shit's not showing up on your dashboard forever and stuff.
It's just looking for current 365 days rather than total.
It could be a single line in that, like on the PlayStation, the last like 15 games you've played appear on that front dashboard, right? And it works pretty well, but sometimes it glitches out, and I'll notice like the thumbnail from one of the games might be missing until I put the disc in. Like, where does that come from? The thumbnail's still there because once the disc goes in, the thumbnail comes back. So why is that glitching out? There are so many things that. So many millions of lines of code and R&D go into these things I know I rag on these things a little bit, but it is fucking impressive that these things even function, like realistically, like how much coding and stuff goes into these. Operating systems are not easy to create, and they're even harder to make fucking stable. My God.
Speaking of things that are impressive, man,
mm-hmm.
What would you think if someone was able to get Monster Hunter World on the Switch?
I'd say they were lying.
Iron Galaxy, the studio that brought Skyrim, the 15-year-old game, to Switch.
Doesn't also run like PUS, from what I've heard.
I haven't tried it either,
but I've heard not great things the way it runs.
No, but they've apparently approached someone and asked, can they port
Monster It's the CEO, World? Adam Boyce. I'm hoping I'm saying his name right. It's all stemmed from a tweet that he's put out that says, "Dear at Monster Hunter Team at Capcom, we understand porting the game to the Nintendo Switch is challenging," and they reference a Kotaku article. "But this is exactly what we do. Give us a shot, and we won't let you down." Winky face.
Fair.
That's what they say. So
look, fair. Look, Monster Hunter belongs on a Nintendo console. It's where it's lived its life for the past, God. Many, many years after the Vita and stuff like that, I think they should definitely give it a shot. And if it runs well, then good on them. The more people that play Monster Hunter World, the better. It's a fucking fantastic game. And if it ends up on the Switch,
mm-hmm.
more than stoked on that. That's great. However, it's going to be really painful to get the fucking multiplayer working.
You just have to have your phone with you. It's all good.
No, right. No, because you have to have the player search function. Like, what the fuck are you going to do?
Well, you've got that session code. You'll be able to put it with your Nintendo ID code.
So you have to type in a 47-digit long fucking number to find someone.
That's more than the 144 characters.
It's ridiculous. Quick math. All the power to them. I hope it works out for you because Monster Hunter World's a great game. And yeah, it belongs on every console.
People should play it.
Yeah, 100%. So. This is a cool one because we spoke about before about when all... We were speaking about it before when we were talking about Sea of Thieves, Wilco, and you said it'd be really, really good once all the newbies drop off and it has this really good community of people that sort of actually really appreciate and love the game and want to help each other out and do this stuff. I was reading an article today that at first I was sort of, I can't believe people are still playing this, but it's an article that sort of says that this dude found a really, really rare beetle in No Man's Sky, like a super rare beetle.
And I can't believe people are still playing it.
Yeah, exactly. And then I started reading the article. And it states that there's a No Man's Sky zoology community that's dedicated to cataloging and sharing the game's most interesting creatures. And they've got like Hall of Fames for players who find the largest or smallest fauna. And like there's all these Reddit posts about... And apparently the community for No Man's Sky is fantastic.
Four of them? Or?
No, it's not small. And apparently it's growing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all the people who were expecting... this to be the last game level play have dropped off. The people who are playing No Man's Sky now are playing it for the right reasons, and they're working with the devs to make the game bigger and better. And from everything I've read online, like this, here's a comment from this Kotaku article. There's no community I adore reading about more than the No Man's Sky community. It would be kind to say that No Man's Sky was released in a form that was more closely resembled beta than a final product. It makes me so happy that both the developers and the community spurred each other on to keep working on it, and as a result, it is much more expansive than anyone would have expected from the state of play a week after launch. So, like, getting praise from internet dwellers now, like a couple of years after launch, is a shit sight different to what it was getting when it launched. The fact that there are zoology communities that are documenting races and different species of like flora and fauna, and they're keeping a catalogue of this, it's interesting. Yeah. It's cool. It makes me want to jump back in and join that. That's really fucking cool.
It kind of, like, it just jumps back to that previous discussion that we had when, you know, when we're talking about NT with what you were playing and even Final Fantasy 15, you know, like, there is so much other good stuff hitting us this year that it disappoints me. Like, if this stuff was in the game when the game was released, I'd probably still be playing it, you know, but I can't justify going out and getting this game again with the disappointment level I had with it to begin with.
I finished Day of the Tentacle for probably the fucking 20th time about a week and a half ago. I think I started another playthrough of Final Fantasy VII about 3 weeks ago. You go back to the games that are worth going back to. And there are tons of games that are worth going back to. There really are. If No Man's Sky is one of those games, I feel like I'm doing it a disservice by not giving it another shot because of what the promise was before it came out, and it didn't live up to that. But now all of these positive comments makes me sort of want to go back. Maybe it is the game that we wanted it to be now. And it, I think it's almost
jump back into it for ages.
I think it's almost. I think I'm gonna have to reinstall it. Hey, and just check it out. And it, like, I still know the grind's gonna be there. I still know the inventory management's probably gonna be a pain in the ass. But the main premise of that, I think I still put 40 hours into that game when it launched. I still
put 50 in a week and a half.
Yeah,
I reckon.
It was still incredibly relaxing. There was just not much to do. Once you'd hit that grind and you'd gone, okay, well, I'm pretty sure there's not much else to do now. But if there are online communities that are spurring each other on saying, hey, no, check out these planets if you want to see this real cool stuff, and you can sort of go on and see where everyone's been cataloging and go, oh, okay, well, if everyone's explored here, I'm going to go here. And if you actually find something rare, post on the internet, and they name this species after you or do something, that's fucking cool, dude. That's really cool. I don't know.
And seriously, like, that's what exactly the point I was talking about with Sea of Thieves. I can't wait to be at that point of Sea of Thieves, the game. So in 12 months' time, when it is the people who are wanting to be playing it. It was similar to The Division when before it got super salty, but after everyone fell off in that first couple of weeks. Like, everyone was helping everyone out and suggesting things, and it's sort of back to where that is now. Where 2 years on, people who are wanting to play the game, wanting to help out other people, it's the same thing with Destiny. When Destiny launched, it was terrible. But the people hung around who enjoyed it, and then the game evolved, they started enjoying it more, they started spreading the word, and the community grew to what it was before Destiny 2 annihilated it. But it's what a game of service should be. It should be a game that builds that community, and the community then helps help people out rather than the griefing you had to get on Sea of Thieves for the first month.
Yep.
So,
yeah, that's it. I'm not saying you're wrong, but there's just other stuff.
Oh yeah, there
coming
is
coming out. You know, it's hard to justify. It's just hard to justify it.
Although
I will say that the
stuff that's coming out is none of it, I think, is as different as No Man's Sky was, and I think that the stuff that's coming out this year, I can more or less, maybe except for Detroit Become Human, every other major release this year, I know what I'm getting myself into. I do, 100%. No Man's Sky was not that. You will not find another game on modern day consoles, not PC consoles, because there's tons of shit like I'm on Steam, but I don't think you'll find a game like No Man's Sky on consoles. Not that relaxing sort of exploratory experience. Whereas games like God of War 4 comes out soon. Man, I know exactly what I'm getting with that game. Yeah, Far Cry 5's coming out soon. I know exactly what I'm getting with that game. God, even Red Dead Redemption, you know, Red Dead Redemption 2 is coming out.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I know what I'm going to get. It's going to be fucking fantastic, and I can't wait, but I know what I'm getting.
That's the only game releasing in the last 3 months of the year, isn't it?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. You know. I'll just, you know, if you want a good exploration space game that can be relaxing. Just pick up Elite.
Don't say Elite Dangerous. Don't you say fucking Elite Dangerous.
What?
That's not relaxing, mate. I've seen you play. That's fucking stressful as shit.
Fucking rage-inducing as much as League of Legends.
Depends how you play it.
No, it depends how other people play it around you. If they get blown the fuck up.
Not necessarily.
No.
Anyway, moving on. An American...
talking about violence.
Yeah, we spoke about this briefly before. An American judge in Illinois has banned a teen from playing violent video games. Now, I haven't read the story behind this, but this if this teen is a fucking dickhead and shows violent tendencies, then I don't think
No, so this is... So it's a 16-year-old bloke who made a joke in poor taste with what's happening in America about carrying out a school shooting. He'd posted on Twitter, on Snapchat... it said something like, "You'll need to shut up about school shootings or I'll do one." So, but this is where it fucking like just becomes fucking...
Yeah, no, that's really stupid, especially in America right now.
It's dumb. It's really
guess
dumb. What?
That gets the FBI in it.
Yeah, so more or less what he's done... More or less, so what this title should read is American judge grounds wanker Illinois teenager for being a dickhead online.
Yeah, but this is what annoys me, right? This is what annoys me about it. You know, why is it video games that are being targeted, you know? And like all in through all the searches and everything of the house, like there's no guns on the house, he's got no access to the guns, he's got no, you know, his parents don't have fucking guns. Like there's no way that he can quite easily do
the
a school
only
shooting.
Reason you know, so why, violent video games is being brought you know? Up is because the NRA wants everyone to be focusing on that and not the fact that the fucking guns need to be taken off the shelves.
And how the fuck are they...
It's a political thing and they're just trying to distract everyone.
And how are they even going to police it? That's the other thing, you know, like...
Who cares?
Pull the internet out of his fucking house.
I back this one. I don't back a lot of things, but that dude... You know what? Be responsible. Own up to your mistake. Man, if you've been banned for playing violent video games because you went on the fucking internet and said you were going to do a school shooting if everyone didn't shut up, guess what? You got banned from playing violent video games because you done fucked up. I don't care that it's violent video games. Something had to be done. And whether it's whether they banned violent video games now or they banned violent movies back in the early 90s or the late 80s, doesn't matter. This kid fucked up. He showed violent tendencies and they're doing the best they can to keep society safe. Yes, they should take away all guns, but that'll never happen. Oh. Like, I'll back. You know what? Good.
No,
stop being an idiot online.
Basically, anything else could have happened. Like, bloody send the kid to fucking jail for...
No, they can't do that because then he'll be fucked for life.
It's threatening other people's life. That's what he's done.
Well, they're trying something, they're trying something out. I don't know.
They're trying the wrong thing.
They're probably trying the wrong thing, but you've got to try the wrong things a few times before you get to the right thing.
That's the motto of this podcast.
Fuck.
I'm not too sure about that. Okay. Alright. Ubisoft has purchased Bluemouth Games. This is pretty cool. The developer of Brawlhalla.
Brawlhalla.
So, Brawlhalla now an Ubisoft release, I guess?
Well, yeah. Brawlhalla's currently the most played fighting game on Steam, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty fun. Like, I've played it.
Yeah, I've checked
it
out. It's not bad.
You know? It's also a free-to-play title on the PlayStation Store and apparently one of the top free-to-play titles on the PlayStation Store.
This is coming off also Ubisoft purchasing a mobile developer last week and bringing them in-house as well. So they're buying up at the end of the quarter. I don't know if it's Europe, it's the financial year, though. I don't think it is.
Fuck, I just hope their acquisition letter goes, "Hello, you be ours." And that's just it.
That's it. And just signed at the bottom.
Man, I would fucking love that. Fuck, that'd be good. Anyway. there's a new Overwatch hero.
Whatever.
I just think it's funny because everyone was pronouncing a name wrong for so long. So it's spelt B-I-G-E-T-T-E. And I was like, oh, Bigette, like baguette. No, it's
the bigot.
Oh, yeah, it's like Brigitte.
Brigitte.
Like Vegeta. Like Vegeta, but Brigitte. And apparently, she's the waifu of like every motherfucker who likes Overwatch on the internet. Everyone's in love with this lady.
Can I get some edibles so I can pronounce her?
Nah, man, it's Brigitte.
It's Brigitte.
That's all we got for news, guys. Oh, fuck. We've got to get into listener feedback because there's a couple of questions tonight. If you want to ask us a question, feel free to jump in the Discord, ask us in the podcast channel, or you can email us. Please email us. We haven't got one in a long time at megacast@ultrasupermega.com.au. First question comes in from Damuji. Thanks, man. He's got a topic to discuss. These days, any Twitch streamer can get partnered if they know the right people or create content for the right org. It happens a lot, but should these people be ashamed of taking partnership from the org if they offer it? I want people's opinion. Mooj, I will sum it up with one very, very relevant phrase to this whole thing. It's not what you know, it's who you know. 100%. That goes through all walks of life, man. I have seen on countless occasions someone who is more qualified for a job not get it because the deputy director's cousin wanted a shot. You know, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And that's how life works.
But the main part of the question, I think, is should that person be ashamed of taking that opportunity they're getting from knowing?
No,
not at all. Not at all. If they squander it, yes. If they don't, no, go for it, man. If they get the opportunity because they've put in, you know, a couple months of hard work and then they continue to work hard and they don't become a complete wanker because of it, then no, they shouldn't be ashamed of it. They should be fucking proud of it. They happen to know, they happen to be in the right place at the right time and know the right person and got given a great opportunity. And as long as they don't completely fuck that opportunity up or turn into a complete wanker, then no, they shouldn't be ashamed of it. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. All comes back to Twitch anyway. Twitch is only going to offer it to people that potentially help grow their brand. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's all a marketing exercise. They're
still going to be putting in the hard yards.
A marketing exercise. If you don't sell yourself well, then you're not going to sell yourself to anyone, Twitch included.
Yeah. So if you want to become a partnered Twitch streamer, you need to be making those contacts with people that will get you there,
or doing
rather than just hoping.
Yeah, or doing it the other way and working your ass off.
Yeah, really working it off. Like, you need to be so much better than those people
mm-hmm.
to get noticed, or you need to... You're still going to work just as hard basically making those contacts and getting in with those people.
Yep.
It's just all back-end stuff that other people don't see. So, some of these people you're talking about might have put in, like,
hundreds of hours of social stuff.
Yeah, 15 hours a day kind of trying to get these contacts. You don't see it on screen, but they've worked just as hard. So, who knows?
True. This is going to be a long one. So, Dash has asked the question, get wrecked. And
yeah, it's fair.
And I said, not really a question. And he said, no, that's a legitimate question. And he asked for a long and concise answer. So, here we go, Dash. Wrecked, also known as RECT, is shorthand for wrecked, WRECKED, which is often used in online gaming to indicate that a person has been defeated or embarrassed. Its origin, as far as we're aware, was in about 2011 on Urban Dictionary by a user, this user was called possibly Cloud Oki Will. He submitted an entry for the term RECT, wrecked, and he defined it as a text message slang for the term WRECKED, wrecked. It seems to have spread on World of Warcraft forums in about 2012, on October 13th, 2012, actually, when a member called Balrog Boogie started a thread titled Get Wrecked Ally Scrub Lords. And then in 2013, a Tale Worlds forums member called Unicorn submitted a thread text about the RECT in capitals Wrecked North American Dueling Tournament for the role-playing game Mount and Blade. And then it started to blow up from there. Ever since then, it's become synonymous around 4chan. We've seen it on a whole bunch of subreddits and stuff, and it's just spiraled out of control. So there you go. I'm not going to go too far into it, but that's where Get Wrecked came
not
from,
gonna
I believe.
Not going to go too far into it.
Well, he
not
going to
go too far into it, but here's 5 minutes
and
on the subject of Wrecked.
And if you would like my sources for all of this, it's on knowyourmeme.com. And look up the meme Wrecked, R-E-K-T. Thank you very
much. Can you... edit that point where my head hit the table when I fell asleep. Sorry.
Jeez. Edit that out.
Dash has also asked what aftershave Wilco wears while he's on the other side of the PUBG map.
It's called this Dash Live Cam. It's this new fragrance coming out. It smells like ball sweat pretty much. But Dash has just changed his whole image to, he's now the Dash Live Cam. So I guess he's dancing his stuff in front of the cam or something like that. I don't know. But that's what he's going for. I wouldn't argue with the man. Poor guy.
I wouldn't argue with him.
He spent all night in our chat on Friday night. He had no one else to hang with. So I don't know what's going on with that.
Yeah, he's going to tell you to get fucked straight as soon as he hits the podcast.
He does that anyway. He doesn't listen to them. What are you talking about?
We love you, Dash.
We love you, Dash. VS Monty has asked, what's your favorite video game soundtrack? Oh, no, I've got straight away. I know this one, 100%.
Oh, shit.
Final Fantasy VII, 100%. Across the board. Yeah, Final Fantasy VII is a soundtrack that I can listen to, and I can picture... I was telling this to... Who was it the other night? I was telling this to someone the other night. the song that is playing and the song that's currently playing the soundtrack, I can picture exactly what's going on scene. I know what town it's from. I know what moment of the game it's from. Everything. Like, that soundtrack has stuck with me so fucking much that I can listen to the entire thing and the game can almost play through in my head. It is phenomenal. I fucking love that soundtrack. It's very, very good.
I think it's certainly, for me, the most memorable. Recognizable.
Mm.
You know, like, if it's playing, well, oh yeah, it's from Final Fantasy VII. Yeah, yeah. Soundtracks are kind of, like, it's almost one of those things that just, it's in the background. It's just there. You know if it's not good. You know if it's shit.
And you know if it's mediocre because you don't remember them. And there's so many of those, dude.
The one that jumps out at me, I guess, the most, I'm not a huge soundtrack person. Like, I don't own any, like, I've never got a game soundtrack and played and listened to it. It's only when I'm playing it. And Elder Scrolls Online was probably one that the music in that is just brilliant. But then Doom also comes back, a totally different opposite ends of the spectrum, but playing Doom, that music, but the way it works with the game, so I don't know if that would work as a really good soundtrack on its own.
Oh, Doom is a phenomenal soundtrack. It is absolutely stellar. And the audio to visual stuff they did with the sonographs and stuff, what do they call it? They're called sonographs, where there's like actual pitches in the music. It's ridiculous. It's so good.
Yeah.
I guess maybe
they're the two that jump out at me.
Yeah, maybe the only other one I want to mention might be Skyrim. You know, like, that's fairly recognisable straight away, I guess.
Yeah, I think that whole Elder Scrolls series has been pretty good, to be honest.
I can't even remember. I played Skyrim on fucking 4,000 different consoles and across all the aeons that it's been out, and I can't remember even one song from it. Not one.
Yeah, okay. I can.
Yeah, I can't remember songs, but as soon as I get into the game and I hear it, I'm like, I'm right back.
Whereas I'm thinking right now,
I know what I've done.
I remember songs in... Well, actually, I remember songs... If we're going curated soundtracks, the soundtrack to Metal Gear Solid 5 is fucking nothing short of phenomenal. Holy fuck. That, for a curated soundtrack, that is absolutely... It's just mind-blowing how good it is. Persona 5 has a fucking phenomenal soundtrack. Final Fantasy 7 is really high up there. Final Fantasy 10 is really high up there as well. Actually, 10's got some really good music in it as well. Enter the Gungeon was really good, I thought. This is all stuff I've got in my Spotify playlist, actually. Donkey Kong Country had a fucking stellar soundtrack. What's that guy's name? He worked for Nintendo and Rare. He worked for Rare in those days and he did a whole bunch of soundtracks. I forget his name now. He did like, didn't he do Viva Pinata as well? That was really highly regarded as a very good soundtrack as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, look, if I'm going favorite, most memorable for me, Final Fantasy VII, one I'd be most probably likely to listen to, probably Persona 5, and... Yeah.
Could you class like the radio stations from like GTA 3?
Well, GTA 3 was one that was jumping out at me a fair bit when I was thinking about it.
And my most favourite curated is Metal Gear Solid 5. There you go. That's my three probably.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Back in the day, I had
GTA 3 and 4 had some good ones.
Vice City has good ones, man.
Vice City.
I remember like just murdering hundreds of people to Broken Wings by Mr. Mister.
Yes.
just being the most sociopath motherfucker in the world and laughing like
I want to play
just
that
killing
game again,
hundreds
now.
Of police officers while this really dun, 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 this really fucking relaxing song is playing. So take these broken wings. I'm just mowing cunts down.
There was a PC game that I had, and I'm pretty sure it was either MechWarrior 2 or something along those lines back in the 90s, where they actually put the soundtrack on the disc. So if you took the game disc out,
that was Street Skater did that.
There was a heap of PC games did it as well, and you put in your CD player, it would just play the soundtrack on loop. And I'm pretty sure MechWarrior 2
was awesome.
Street Skater on PS1 introduced me to All Eye Against Eye and one other band that I still listen to this day. Nerf Herder, maybe like old punk. Like, oh fuck, dude, that game got more playtime in my Discman when I was in like grade 9 and 10 than it did in the actual PlayStation, because it was a fucking shit game. But God, I had some good music on it. This has been a really good question. I love game soundtracks. Thank you very much, VS Monty.
I need to pay more attention to them, obviously. Oh,
I'm just a music fanatic, but anyway. Das Choma has asked the question, how fucking good are potato gems? They're pretty good.
Yeah. They have to be fresh, though. You can't have more than probably 10, 15 minutes old. They start getting soggy. And some good amount of tomato sauce on them, and they're fucking unreal.
Nah, man, just... bit of cheese. Yeah, a bit of chicken salt. Jeez. Bit of salt, bit of chicken salt. I'm cool. I'm cool with them either. Anyway, doesn't matter. I'm cool with them without sauce, cool with them with sauce, bit of sriracha on them. Make that...
nice brown, like, yeah, man. Really cool.
Make that sriracha barbecue fucking mix. Ooh, god damn.
Are we actually going to have, like, a food section on this podcast from now on?
No.
Like,
every week? No,
we'd be talking for hours about food, bro.
We would. We can't. These podcasts already go for far too long.
It's named my Friday night stream Nacho's number one as well, and that's what got Dash pretty upset, and that's why he hung around all night.
Nikki is bored. This is your first question. Welcome to the question section of the podcast, Nikki. She wants us to talk about maybe what games or genres will be hits and popular in the future, and what topics for games in terms of story might be hits as well. Battle Royale.
Do we have to do Battle Royale?
Well, no, I'm just saying. It's going to be. It's going to be
the best. I think
Sorry, Wilco, you go.
I was going to say, we're definitely running into this whole... this is a bit of news we didn't talk about. This whole, as far as story-based stuff, we're heading back into World War II pretty heavily, I think.
I hope not.
But the latest rumor is Battlefield 5 to 18, whatever you want to call it, is heading back to World War II as well. And after Call of Duty's success with it last year, I think you'll see a lot more. You'll probably see the Medal of Honor get revived by EA, because they're going to have to try and get some games released sooner or later. I think that's a possible big hit in the future, or big... they'll be trying to make it a hit anyway. I think indies are going to be the big hit, to be honest, in the future.
That's where you'll find your deep and enriching stories, I think, is an indie.
Yep.
If you want
a game that's going to enjoy, like, there's the odd games, which, like, Monster Hunter is obviously what the big one that sticks out for us. There was Horizon and Mario and Zelda last year were the big ones, but the games that really took me last year were the smaller indie games, and I think hopefully that's the genre that sort of breaks through this year and next year above everything else.
Yeah, it could potentially be. We could be entering that whole AAA into AAA again, where all of the indie guys become really big and get their own AAA studios and stuff.
I heard some really good news yesterday morning, that the Greens, that they're actually pushing in a by-election that's happening in Melbourne, around where the centre of where the arcade is.
As much as
they're pushing for
it. As much as I love that news, the Greens will fucking say anything to get some votes.
Yeah,
but at least they're talking about it. They're talking about $100 million slush fund, which is... we just haven't had that for our windows.
No, we haven't. So, and that is a very good news.
The fact that they're talking about it is
fucking great. Yep.
And it'll be amazing to see what we could do if we get our hands on it. Oh, my God. The indie scene here would be amazing.
In terms of gameplay, I think you'll start to find open world games that are getting ridiculous. Imagine an MMO or an open world game like a Horizon Zero Dawn or a Final Fantasy, that when you get in a car had driving mechanics that were as good as like a Gran Turismo, and then when you go to sail overseas had sailing mechanics that were as good as a Sea of Thieves. I think we'll start to find games that get so large in scale and the physics get so good that these open world games have massive open worlds. I think we're getting to the point where we might start to see those pop up maybe in the next decade.
Well, look at Wildlands. Wildlands is already absolutely fucking huge.
Wildlands is massive, but there are multiple, like there's one real style of gameplay in there that's not, you can't really get in. There's nothing to do with like gun battles and on boats and stuff. I mean, you can get on a boat and shoot other people, but there's no, you know, maritime warfare or anything like that. I think we'll find worlds that have legitimate different physics systems based, and I think we'll start to see this probably in the next 10 years, maybe. In terms of story, the one that sort of jumps out to me the most is, we've already seen it happen in movies, is when Disney realizes that they can turn Marvel into a video game universe properly.
Well, they're already starting that, to be honest. I think we're gonna hear a lot more of that this year.
If you think about the past 10 years of cinema and how many comic book movies have just decimated fucking movie, like, you know, movie theaters and records and all sorts of shit. I think that's probably going to be the next big push into video games. We're going to get a lot of story-based games that are based around comic book universe stuff, I think, especially when Disney realizes how much money there is in gaming. But in saying that as well, with the push for online gaming, there's a big possibility that story-based gaming is going to disappear. Not disappear, but there'll be a niche for it. It won't be as big as the PUBGs and stuff like that. Everyone will be searching for their 15 minutes of PUBG fame or something like that, and creating these weird, almost social media-esque, you know, small things of, you know, small experiences that you can get in and get out real quickly, for, you know, a world that is ADHD.
I'm also seeing a lot, like, I know Battle Royale's here at the moment, but there's a lot of, like, Ubisoft, the big one, is going towards these co-op rather than just straight-up single-player.
That makes me so happy, hey?
Oh, that's, and I think, I hope, is the fact that instead of just being four-player co-op, we're going to start seeing 5, 6, 7, 8, 10-player co-op where they just scale difficulty up so big that you do need 10.
We've had two games out in the past year that have not been that large in scale, but if you look at both Ghost Recon Wildlands and you look at Monster Hunter World, both of those games were more than split screen. They were up to four people, I think, both of them actually, up to four people, and scaled quite... Well, Monster Hunter scaled terribly, actually. It was... You either play with one person or you play with four. You play with two, you're an idiot, because the monsters scale the same way.
You die.
You're going to get your fucking ass kicked. But, you know...
But you've also got Far Cry 5 coming out, which is going for the full four-player co-op now as well. I'm really excited about this side of it, because that's where I see my gaming... Yep. Being at the moment is, if I'm not playing with the people from USM, I'm not really playing.
It'd be really, really rad if we can see... Imagine a game with a storyline like The Last of Us or an Uncharted. Because realistically, you don't see stories as good as Uncharted stories, I personally don't think, at the moment, in AAA games anyway. No. Imagine if you could do a full multiplayer, a full, you know, cooperative run through that, and it actually feel like both people mattered in the story. That'd be fucking rad.
Well, just imagine... Well, we're going to see a way out in the next couple of weeks is the big litmus test for that. But imagine they brought out Titanfall and there was a story like that that you could play through with five or six people.
That is such a fucking good game. And it's currently so cheap. If you don't have Titanfall 2 right now, please go buy it. Play through the campaign. It is fucking rad. Button prompt of the year. Press L1 to time travel. What the fuck? It's so good. Fuck.
I guess my answer to this one's probably a bit more specific than anything else. You know, as in, you know, topic for a game to be based on, you know, like the story to be based on, would have to be a book series that I've read, you know, by Brandon Sanderson. Like, his whole fucking book series of everything that he does, it's all one universe. There's 14 different... No, sorry. 21 different books now.
You haven't even read the books. You only read 14 of them. You're not even a real fan.
No, there's 21 now, and they're all, like, there's different series that are all in the same universe and all that kind of stuff. So, like, that's something I really want to see. But going along with that as well, one thing I think that will probably be hit or popular, I hope, is going to be in the future is something else that Brandon Sanderson is doing with one of his massive epics, is kind of like a VR companion to... that, if that makes sense. So, you know, he's creates these massive, huge worlds in these books with all these interesting characters and stuff.
And he creates a virtual reality, supplement.
And doing a virtual reality experience or game that lets you walk around and interact with the characters and really gives you the visual of what's in the book. Like, that's something that I think, I hope might become popular with VR in the future, you know, because it just gives... people that have had a medium of just in, you know, in print for so long, the opportunity to get what they're looking at out to so many more people.
Man, I'm still just fucking stoked I can watch the NBA highlights on fucking virtual reality from on the court. On the fucking court. I saw Steph Curry get dunked on like a little bitch, and it fucking made me so happy. What are we looking forward to, guys? Let's start to clean it up a little bit. Wilco.
Edibles.
Wilco's going to fucking hospital.
Come on, Bubbles. I've got to go see Bubbles.
Oh, fuck, man.
Actually, look, honestly, March is probably my favorite month of the year at the moment. Outbreak, that is literally, like, I think it's 4 hours away from launching on Rainbow Six Siege. I just am so excited about that. It's going to be my content for Thursday, Friday, and probably into next week while we try and bang our heads against the wall to finish the three missions that they're dropping. And then to see where they take this, because we feel like it's going... We talked about this on Locked On, that it could be a massive story arc that they take over the next 5 to 10 years, where this is just the start of the outbreak, and then as we go on, there's going to be more missions every 6 months to 12 months that extend that storyline, and I just can't wait to see what happens with that. But
do you think you'll get German alien zombies as well, like to go with the Russian alien zombies?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they're going to be anything but Russian, but then there's actually going to be a dark sinister underbelly that's going to be American.
There'll be North Korean ones soon.
No, the Americans, it's going to be the Americans getting the Russians to do it for them. Memo style.
Oh, like Pokemon zombies. Like you catch the zombies and battle them.
Yeah, how good's that going to be? Sea of Thieves, I'm looking forward to as well. It is so close, and I'm hoping that we get stress tests the next 2 weekends before it launches. Also, I'm really scared that Far Cry 5 is coming out so soon, because I can see us all getting, like, as me and the guys in USM that I play with everything else, we're going to get sucked into that, and I'm going to have to get pulled away from Sea of Thieves to play that. But the big thing is I'm really keen to get some more Total War Arena in and start leveling myself up in that. And because I've got the review account on the Asian server, because that's the way Josh set it up, but we're all playing on the Europe server. So I've had to forfeit that review account to play with the rest of the guys on the Europe server. So I've got a free-to-play account on that. So yeah, pretty keen to see where that goes and get up to the real gameplay in the next probably 2 to 3 weeks. So that's it for me.
Fair. Josh, what are you keen on?
Sea of Thieves. Mm-hmm. Wifey and I both have the day off work for that, so we'll sink a fair bit of time into that day, I think.
Arseholes.
What day is that coming out? It's pretty soon, eh?
20th, I think it is.
The Tuesday week.
Yeah, so... A Way Out. I'm actually pretty excited to have a look at that game. Like, it looks really good. It does look really good. And I just like the concept that you can buy it, and then, because you can only play it cooperatively, just give a code that you get with the game to another guy, and he can play the full game with you. You know, so, like,
yep.
Two of you play it, only one has to buy it, you know?
There's a really good podcast out there talking about A Way Out, so... it's called, I think it's Super Hype Train, episode 35.
Don't know if I've heard of it.
Listen to that. Yeah, it's apparently pretty good.
I might have to check it out.
Getting some hype at the moment.
I might have to check it out.
I heard someone farted on the podcast after eating an edible.
No, never happened. It got edited out. No one heard it. If a bit of audio gets edited out in the forest, does that mean anyone? It really happened.
My mind exploded.
I think you just broke my
Let's
head,
move on.
Eh?
Yep. And not from philosophy, mostly that was really shit English. I'm not too sure what the fuck just happened.
I've got the edible in my mouth. It's hard to word speak
Sick.
Now.
Sick. God. I'll see you at hospital, you dingus.
That's me done.
All right, and Far Cry 5.
Oh, yes, cool. Finally.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to Ni No Kuni 2. Really looking forward to that, actually. Far Cry 5 as well. I think they're pretty much the only two games I'll play for March that I'm not already playing, so I'm going to continue. Actually, after this podcast, I'm going to play some more Final Fantasy 14 and try and get to level 20.
Hey, Matthew, did you know there's a really cool podcast that did an episode on Ni No Kuni 2? It's called Super Hype Train. It's pretty good.
What's that? What?
I don't know. Let's keep going. I think I've plugged the podcast enough.
Okay,
let's go.
Well, we'll continue to go. All right, guys. Hey, that's pretty much it for me. If you want to catch us, you can catch us all at the following locations. Wilco, where can we find you other than Super Hype Train, you fucking dory?
In hospital.
Eating edibles. Sick.
Wilco's Chill Zone, and yeah, that'll do. That'll get me there.
Brad Joshua.
Supermaker Josh, Twitter, Discord. And if you see me playing something on PlayStation or something that you want to join in, give me a shout out.
Sounds good. And you can find me at Deacon_Fall on the PlayStation Network. And everywhere else, I go by one or two handles, Matty Jerkins or Matt Jerkins, depending on whether you're on Twitter or Twitch. You can find me at pretty much either one of those. And you can catch all of us at our website, ultrasupermega.com.au. I think I've got two reviews going live in the next week. and I'm working on some video content that should be released in the next week and a half as well. So looking forward to that one. Other than that, guys, we'll catch you all next week.